Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're asking the question, is it a terrible time to buy a home?
Yeah, dude, there are a lot of different things going on within the housing market. Like, what a time to be alive, first of all, because, I don't know, we all like being alive. But I'm thinking specifically of the past 2 years, man, the past 2.5 years that we have experienced. What a time to have a personal finance podcast and be able to just learn about this stuff up close. And not only with the stimmy checks way back, so that's when we started our Friday flights, yeah. Right? Like, was back when the stimulus checks were hitting and folks were wanting to figure out, when am I going to get mine? When's that going to show up? That was the big question, right? Like, we were all kind of waiting and being like, is money going to really just show up into my account? That kind of thing. But the housing market, that's been another thing that we have seen just on a tear recently, and things are changing.
Yeah, I don't want to be self-aggrandizing and make it sound like personal finance podcasts are more important than normal.
But they're the best out there.
But I do think these past couple years, listening to a personal finance podcast, because the facts on the ground are changing so rapidly in so many areas of our lives when it comes to inflation, when it came to stimmy checks, when it comes to an ever-changing housing market, it's like, it's more important to get kind of some up-to-date information and advice. That's what we're here for. That's the point of the show.
It's certainly pertinent. And I guarantee that listeners out there who have found our show in the past couple of years, I guess I can't guarantee it, but I'm pretty sure they're in a better place now than they would have been.
Yeah.
That's what I love about what we do here at How to Money. But yeah, we're talking about the housing market during this episode, specifically if right now is a terrible time to buy. We're going to answer that. Plus, we're going to be able to guide people through a way of thinking about a home purchase so that they make the right decision for themselves. But first, man, I've got a frugal or cheap for you. You may have noticed during my lunch breaks, I like to get outside. I enjoy eating my lunch outside, seeing the trees, hearing the birds chirp. And then I oftentimes try to go for a walk around the block. And over the past few weeks, when I've come back with figs, I've offered you a fig or two. You're not a fan.
No, my daughter loves figs. She would pick out with
next
you
time on. I will go, I'll bring a couple back for her.
Okay.
And you can take this home. But I am pulling these figs off of a neighbor's tree. So this is, I guess, a neighbor of the family we rent our carriage house from. And this fig tree, it's massive. It kind of hangs out over the sidewalk. And there have been these gorgeous giant figs just ripe for the picking. And so I have been picking them. So my question to you, am I being frugal or cheap by stealing this person's fruit?
Oh, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. And maybe I'm wrong here. I think most of them, the fruit goes uneaten or gets eaten by animals, right? So
I think so.
My guess is that if it's some sort of giant fig tree that's producing, they produce a ton of figs if they're big, that a lot of them are going uneaten or maybe even all of them are going uneaten. So I think if it's like hanging over the street, I don't think it's a big deal to pluck a few, but
yeah,
it, you know, if you want to be completely above board, you might want to like knock on the door and say, hey, I'm your neighbor, Matt. And so like the other day, like we're starting to walk to school. And the quickest way for us to get to our kids' school is to walk through our backyard and through someone else's backyard. And I was like, this is just going to save us so much time. But kind of walking down somebody's driveway on the back end.
You want to make sure you're above board.
Yeah. So I go knock on the door and they're like, who is this weird guy? And I'm like, I'm your new neighbor. Can we walk on your driveway? And
they're like, of course.
To get to school. And they were cool about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Were I to knock on the door, I'm guessing they would probably be like, of course.
Yeah.
But there's also just a, like you said, who's this weird guy? There's an element of, man, you don't need to ask. Just take them. Like, obviously, I'm not eating them.
Yeah.
If there was somebody out there, if there's like a old lady and she's out there, you know, knocking the figs into her basket and it looks like she's going to make a pie or
why
something
is it
gonna
like be that.
An old lady? I don't know. That's why I picture making fig pies, which I don't even know if that's a pie.
It could be a young man making fig pies, Matt.
That is true. But I will say a few weeks ago when they first started turning ripe, I was kind of eyeing them. And I wasn't taking more than one fig initially, right? Because they slowly begin to ripen. But like a week or two into it, I mean, I'm looking at dozens of ripe figs. And I thought, no, literally nobody is picking these at this point. And I gave myself permission to then start gathering more than one. I'll grab two or three. And it's my fruit serving at lunch.
I think you're above board on this. I think it's okay.
Thank you.
I'm not going to judge you. Keep picking your figs.
They're delicious, by the way.
I found out about it.
So good.
When a neighbor told me about a pear tree that's kind of unattended. On some sort of public property or something that bears a lot of fruit, and so we're gonna run and snag some pears.
When are those?
I think they're coming into season now.
Nice.
I think. Okay, so I mean, because he had a pear tree in his front yard, and he told us he could pick one, and he was like, "By the way, there's one around the corner. You should grab some from." So
do you know? While we're talking about foraging for wild fruit, do you know the trick with pear trees? You will pull that pear, and you will take it home, and you're like, "Oh, I'm excited to eat this," and you go to bite into it, and you're like, "Oh man, this is not a good pear."
Put it on the windowsill, right?
You wait 1 week, yep. Evidently. We learned this from our buddy Tim, and he's got a pear tree in his yard, and this thing evidently drops. I mean, he made it sound like hundreds of pears, but what you do, you pull them, you gather them, you let them sit around for 1 week, and after a week, they taste like the pears you buy at the store.
You don't eat
them right away. So if you've got one of those pear trees, just give it a second. If it's a fig, if you happen to be walking around, you see a ripe fig, go ahead and grab it and eat it right away.
Yeah. No, you throw caution in the wind. If someone's looking at you weird, just eat that fig anyway, right?
And get ready to take off running.
You're supposed to wash them first, though, right?
Well, yeah. I bring them home, and I wash them here in the sink. The first time, I was like, oh, I want to see how good these jokers are, and I ate one during my walk.
But I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's mention the beer we're having on this episode, Matt. This one's called Odelette, and it's by Fair Isle Brewing. It is like an oak-aged beer that
fooder
smells
yes.
fantastic. So we'll give our thoughts at the
really
end of the episode.
Looking forward to this one.
But let's move on, Matt. Let's get to the question at hand. We're asking, is it a terrible time to buy a house? And it's been said that timing is everything, right? I mean, in almost everything in life, your timing matters a great deal. Sometimes, like, I don't know, I'm thinking about people who graduated during the Great Recession, and it's like, oop, my degree doesn't feel as useful right now as it might have just a few years ago.
I was thinking about the first time that you asked Emily out on a date.
That's true.
Like, we weren't ready.
She's like, who are you? You ugly. I don't think so. But, you know, over time, she got to know me and she was like, he's beautiful on the inside.
But a year later, it's like the personality is what counts.
Right, exactly. She kind of came around. Well, something else it made me think of was like NASCAR or Formula One drivers. They need like perfect timing in order to make a move to pass their competition.
That's true.
A split second, right? An ill-timed attempt. It can result in in falling further behind in the race, or worse, maybe some sort of like awful crash that takes you out of the race completely. Well, the housing market has kind of been shaken up in a big way as prices have risen substantially. And now higher rates are making things even more unaffordable, although rates have actually come back down to earth just a little bit in recent weeks. But the market feels like it's kind of stalled out, heading for a correction. And although, Matt, the two of us, you know, you and I, we'd be pretty shocked if the current market oddities ended up in anything resembling the crash of 2008. Like, we don't think that's likely to happen. But yeah, the fundamentals are just so different this time around. But there's still a lot of uncertainty when it comes to the housing market right now. And so if you were making offers last year, you kept missing out consistently, kept getting outbid because there were 39 offers every time you tried to buy a house and people were paying $120,000 more than list price. That's not happening right now. So is now the time for you to finally be able to buy that house? That's kind of what we want to discuss in today's episode.
That is right, man. Yeah, you know, it's interesting too that we're talking about timing in the housing market today, because timing the market isn't something that you necessarily hear us talk about. It's not something we're in favor of, at least when we're talking about the stock market, right? Like, we would prefer to see folks dollar cost average every 2 weeks for decades and then just leave the results to the overwhelming odds.
Yeah, that, who cares if it's been a 10-year bull run or currently in a bear market? It doesn't matter. Just keep going.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to worry about timing because you're likely going to be just fine. But you know, you don't dollar cost average into a house. And so timing matters a good bit more when you're plunking down tens of thousands of dollars for just the down payment on a house, on the most expensive purchase that you're ever going to make. And so for that reason, I think timing does come into play slightly more than it does when you're talking about investing in the stock market. And so this episode is intended to help you to find some firm footing as you're considering your next move when it comes to housing. So we'll talk about renting versus buying in general, but we'll also discuss, you know, which factors you should be most keenly paying attention to in a market that is shifting in a big way right now.
Yeah, market conditions for housing, they're changing, and it's happening fast, right? And like I said, mortgage rates have been all across the board, shooting above 6%, now back down to the 5% range. And so these shifts are happening quickly. Home purchase agreements, when you look at the stats, they've been blowing up left and right. So a huge majority of contracts that are being entered into are now, the buyers are now backing out. More so, way more so than we saw last summer and spring. And like I said, those houses, Matt, they were getting multiple offers, right? I mean, when you sold your house, you had a ton of offers. There were a lot of people. There was a lot of interest.
I did.
Yes. And so that was a good thing. Now, if you were to list that same house, you might get crickets at least for a few days or a week or something like that. It's not nearly as frothy. But yeah, now these homes are sitting longer. Price cuts are happening with more regularity. And basically, things are just mellowing out. And we would say that's actually a good thing, right? It also creates more uncertainty, though, for buyers and for sellers. So now you might start to wonder, well, how overpriced is this home that I'm interested in? Or should I wait until rates go down even more? Or you might be asking, like, if I wait just a bit longer, am I going to get a more significant discount? And we can't answer these questions with perfect accuracy. So much depends on a whole slew of factors, especially given like the wild cards of Fed policy, what is going to continue to happen with mortgage rates, and then the specific location where you live. So much of the reality on the ground is going to be determined by things that are out of our control, but we'll do our best to kind of give you an overview of what's happening alongside with our thoughts on how you should proceed if buying a house is something that you're still keen on doing.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm not going to give away the punchline, but I feel like a part, like a TLDR of this episode is that, like, the true question that we're asking is, do these things even matter? Because we're going to talk about a host of personal factors that we need to be considering. But, you know, even though we are seeing price cuts to homes, like, housing prices are still through the roof when you back out and look at it. You know, they've increased something close to 20% year over year on average. Most counties in Florida, they've been going up at a rate like in the 30s and in the 40s. And the median monthly payment has gone up 56%, although that year over year increase, it's actually finally starting to slow down due to a combination of rapidly increasing prices and mortgage rates doubling overnight virtually. Like, that's what has created this new reality. But when home prices go up that much in such a small period of time, it's bound to cause some turbulence in the market. You know, first we saw bidding wars, and now we're seeing folks who are apathetic to the market. A lot of folks have thrown in the towel. They've deleted Zillow from their phones altogether because they have decided that, you know what, it's not time for us to buy a house. Things aren't working out. But what we're saying is to think again, look twice, because now actually might be the perfect time, depending on a number of factors.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get into all those factors. And man, it makes me think of maybe being like an Atlanta Falcons fan and how five games into the season, you're like, I don't really need to follow the team anymore because they're basically out of playoff contention already. And so you might not realize whether they've gone on like a 3-win streak or something like that because you stopped watching because they were so bad in the beginning of the season.
That's true.
And that's what happened with a lot of folks when it came to...
Go ahead, cancel cable. I'm not going to follow them anymore.
Right.
Like, oh, dang it. Well, now I'm missing out on all the wins.
Unfollow on Twitter. But that's just the kind of the reality for a lot of people is as they got priced out of the market, they just kind of tuned it out altogether. And like you just mentioned, interest rates, you know, have which were on the rise for quite a while, impacted the cost of housing in a significant way. You know, most folks who buy a home, they got a mortgage on that home. And so it's not just the skyrocketing price of the house, but it's also the increased costs of financing. And so, yeah, when the Fed fund rate goes up by 0.75 points, here's the thing. A lot of people assume that mortgage rates are going to skyrocket, but that's not exactly how it works. They don't move in tandem when the Fed moves their rate up. And so the reality is that those rising interest rates impact the economy, and that is what's impacting what happens with mortgage interest rates. So rates have actually gone down in recent weeks, and that means that you can afford just a bit more house for the same amount of money. Not as much, of course, is when rates were below 3%, obviously. But I feel like we're starting to see a housing market that's got a little more balance to it. Less frothy, less apathetic, maybe a bit more of a healthy market in general.
That's true. Yeah, it seems like things are resuming some sort of normalcy. But buyers are not the only ones who've been shocked by rapidly increasing housing costs. We'll actually talk about what's happening to renters and also discuss the most important factors you need to consider before purchasing a home. We'll get to all of that right after the break. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. That's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access... Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. And now a word from the show sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Spring cleaning is kind of an annual rite of passage. We've all got to do it, minimize the junk that we have in our house. Emily and I, we just cleaned our closets out. It took hours, but it was so worth it. Now we've only got stuff in there that we love, and it's easier to find everything too. And so, you know, while cleaning your closets is helpful, well, there's something else you can do for your family this spring. Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius, for example, is a really important part of your financial planning for the year.
That's right. Yeah. And here is the thing that's important to remember, because you might be thinking you don't need to check out Policy Genius because you've got a policy through work. But even if you have a life insurance policy through your job, it may not offer you enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, and that means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. All right, best bud, let's keep talking about real estate because...
Let's do it.
It's still a hot topic of conversation, even if you're on Zillow for 30 minutes less every day because you got priced out of the market. Well, here's the thing. It's not just that buyers have gotten priced out of the market. Renters have also seen a huge uptick in prices too. There's just been no reprieve for anybody when it comes to housing costs. And rents have kind of actually lagged the housing market in most places. So here's the thing. Even if you have opted to forego a home purchase because it was getting too pricey, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've avoided the rising cost of housing, right? You're still kind of impacted by it in a different way. So instead of watching prices rise as you're looking through the apps, you probably just got a rough email from your landlord before your lease expired, telling you that your rate is going up something like 18 to 20%. And the difference is largely determined based on where you live, right? So for example, the Wall Street Journal had a great article about a bunch of different markets and where rents and home prices have gone. So in Atlanta, for instance, rents rose about 12% last year, while home prices went up by 22%. And that was kind of like similar in markets like Charlotte, Vegas, Austin, and Phoenix. And there were other cities, I think like Miami, where rents went up quite a bit more than housing prices. But you know, while those rising rent prices have been tough for a lot of folks to stomach, home buyers in lots of the country have seen the price tag increase even more. So basically, I don't know, it's just bad news all the way around for anybody.
You cannot escape it.
Yeah, who's trying to live anywhere, right?
That's right, yeah.
Besides like a tent in your friend's backyard.
And maybe they're asking you to chip in a little bit on water for all those outdoor showers.
That's right.
I don't know. And so the question, right, like will rents continue to rise? Well, that's a complicated question, and there are too many factors to weigh in order to nail down an answer. Because if buyers continue to sit on the sidelines, opting to not buy a home, it's going to mean more demand for rental units, raising prices. And that demand, it's already pretty intense, you know? Plus, rental units just aren't being built fast enough. But as the housing markets continue to soften and more people are listing their homes for sale now, we could see prices decrease enough that buyers start to get interested again. So much of this hinges on things outside of our control.
Yeah, we certainly don't have a crystal ball. We can't prognosticate, you know, what's going to happen with rents tomorrow or home prices tomorrow, especially as we look out even further. I mean, it's harder to know, especially like the wild cards that I mentioned, Matt. Those exist. So what we had talked about a year ago was, hey, the housing market, because of the shortage of homes, is likely to continue to see price increases into the future. But what we weren't factoring in was some of these outside influences that were gonna come in and change the dynamics of the situation. But let's talk about the kind of the rent versus buy conundrum right now, because both buyers and renters are in a tough situation. We'd recommend that you don't overly focus on the market and the numbers. Basically, if you're wondering if now is the right time to buy a place, it's just even more important to figure out what you want your life to look like moving forward. So you got to think about the lifestyle factor, right? I mean, owning a home is a time and a money commitment. You're talking about fixing leaky toilets and a whole lot of other not so fun things. They become a part of your life when you own a home. Man, we've got this like toilet that keeps running, and I've like got to figure out how to fix this thing. I've kind of checked, and it's not the flapper.
You give it the old jiggle.
Yeah, you give it the old jiggle. Sometimes, in order to keep it from running.
Well, I mean, it's not just toilets too, right? Like, I feel like that's kind of that's what we think of. But I mean, like essentially when you buy a home, like you have to become versed virtually, I think, in all systems of a home, not right. because you have to be able to know how to do something beyond just the jiggle on the toilet handle, but to know what type of repair person to call and to know whether or not they're ripping you off and to know whether they're doing a good job. Like these are all things that you have to kind of familiarize yourself with. And that might be up some people's alley where they're like, oh, man, that sounds great. Like I already know all the systems. I grew up kind of doing that stuff as a teenager. But you also might be saying to yourself, I grew up in an apartment in the city and never had to do any of that kind of stuff. So I have no clue. These are the kind of things you need to keep in mind.
Yeah, homeownership can be more daunting for some people than others, right?
Yeah.
Based on kind of their knowledge level and comfortability level with figuring that stuff out. Plus, you know, monthly mortgage payments and monthly rent amounts, they're just not apples to apples comparisons, right? And a lot of people think, well, as long as I'm getting into a house, got a mortgage that's less than my rent, I'm coming out ahead. But that's truly not the case because of all the expenses that are associated with owning a home. And despite the popular notion, renting is not throwing money away. That is kind of a common perception, especially for people who want to get good with their money. They start to think, well, if I continue to rent a house, then basically what I'm doing is I'm flushing money down the toilet every single month. Well, that's
keep going back to toilets.
Yes, exactly. But that's just not true at all, right? Because you're paying right. for a physical place to live, for a roof over your head, and you're also paying for, you know, more flexibility, the right to not have to fix anything in that house when it goes wrong, except for like changing light bulbs and stuff yeah. like that. You basically,
or if you broke it,
right, right. But that's gonna put that onus on the landlord.
That's right.
And there's a lot of value in that. So we want to make sure that misconception doesn't continue in perpetuity because renting makes sense for a lot of people.
Yeah. So as you are trying to decide if buying a home makes sense for you, it's important to remind yourself too that a home is not typically a great investment. This kind of goes in tandem with what you're saying, Joel, about flushing money down the toilet. But like we would suggest that you not think about a primary residence in those terms as an investment, despite the fact, though, that recent history debunks our claim because of the past couple of years. That doesn't guarantee that homes are going to appreciate this rapidly moving forward.
There's like no better investment over the past 2 years than buying
than housing.
But that is not normal. And
we
I think people
cannot expect that.
And especially
moving forward.
Even over the past 10 to 12 years, like the stock market's been on a tear. But so has the real estate market.
Everything's been on the table.
And so you feel like you've missed out. But the reality of that is just not normal, and it is highly unlikely for it to continue yeah. at that pace.
But specifically, though, I mean, when you are looking at housing versus just say the stock market, generally speaking, like when you take a longer view of the typical returns, homes return about 4% on average, while the stock market is closer to 10%. And so because of that, we want you to treat your home primarily as a place to live, not as an investment. And so if renting is going to be a better lifestyle move for you, you might actually be happier and also be able to see higher returns from investing passively within the stock market.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, by the way, Matt, when we talk about the affordability of buying a house and we're talking about mortgage rates, we're talking about mortgage rates right now in the 5% range. And I think a lot of people are like freaking out because when you're looking at the past couple of years, when you're even looking at the past decade, that's high.
Oh, yeah.
by those standards. But when you're looking at the long arc of mortgage rate history, it's still ridiculously low, near historic lows to get a 5% rate that's locked in over 30 years. And so it's important to note that it's like, yeah, mortgage rates are high. Well, in what context are we talking about high? Because in reality, they're still pretty reasonable. And here's the thing. If you buy a home, you can always refinance at a later date if rates do go down. But we just don't want you to buy a home with the hope that you're going to be able to refinance in the future,
yeah,
right?
With the hope or the expectation.
Buying at the extreme edge of what you can afford, saying, a couple of years from now, pretty sure I'm going to be able to lower that rate, and then it'll all be fine and dandy. Like, that puts you in a precarious financial position. But just let that be the icing on the cake if it does happen, right? If you're able
it's a nice little bonus.
Yeah, you're like, oh, cool, now I get to lower my rate, my monthly payment by a couple $100 because I got to refinance as rates went back down. But yeah, running the numbers based on comps in your specific market is what's going to be able to help you decide whether renting or buying is a better financial decision for you given the current conditions.
That's right. Yeah. And aside from whether or not you can afford, you know, the monthly payment that you might get with a mortgage, you need to make sure that you have enough cash saved up. And, you know, we're not just talking about money for a down payment here. Like, we want you to have funds saved for home repairs in addition to a nicely stocked emergency fund. And, you know, I say this knowing that this sounds like a big hurdle, but don't buy a house if you haven't been able to save up enough to make this happen. It's just going to put you in too precarious of a position. And we just don't want you to experience that financial stress, because it's a real thing. It impacts all areas of your life. Like, I've heard interviews with folks who fought in Iraq, and they've come back and they've made poor financial decisions. And they said how that was more stressful than actually fighting in the war. And, you think, how in the world is that possible? And he was actually talking about how, well, he wasn't trained to deal with this. When you're fighting in a war, when you're in the military, you're trained to handle that kind of thing.
For months and months and months by experts. Yeah.
Exactly. And this isn't something we're often trained for, and we find ourselves in these sticky situations, and oftentimes we don't feel that we have anywhere to turn to, and it feels like our lives are about to be upended.
Yeah, that's why when some listeners reach out and they're like, I'm scrounging to save up 3.5% to put down on this house, typically we'll tell that person, you're not ready to buy a house.
Yeah.
And it's because if you're just scrounging up that 3.5% to put down, you haven't saved up money. You don't have any more money in the e-fund. You don't have money in some sort of...
That's it. That's going to be all your money.
Yeah.
Were you to plunk that down.
Right. You don't have money in an Ally bucket to pay for the toilets that are going to break, or I've got an igniter in my stove that I need to replace soon because it's malfunctioning. Mm. Those are the kind of things that you have to plan for. You don't necessarily know what is going to break, but you have to have the money on hand to be able to pay for it when it does.
That's right.
And you, Matt, another thing that people need to think about when it comes to that conundrum of renting versus buying is where their credit score is at, because how healthy your credit score is going to have this direct impact on the affordability of that house, because it's going to have an impact on the interest rate that you're going to qualify for, and therefore what your monthly expense is actually going to be. So having a credit score that's above 720 is kind of a minimum goal we want you to aim for, but having a score that's at least 760 is what we prefer to see, because that is what's going to qualify you for the best terms with basically every lender out there. And if you're not sure what your score is, you can check it out for free on a site like Credit Karma. We'll link to that in the show notes, but they also give you tips on how to improve your score, which is helpful. They'll be like, "Yeah, you're getting a C minus over here. Okay. If you just tend to this, you're going to
score coach.
Yeah, you're going to be able to raise that score, therefore saving you money in the long run." Mm-hmm. And you can check out episode 287 for more on our thoughts about working towards a solid credit standing.
Yeah, the good news just for our economy overall is the fact that since the Great Recession, since the housing crisis like 15 years ago, we've seen the quality of mortgage borrowers increase dramatically.
Sure.
So that, like, the credit scores that we're seeing that folks are coming to the table with, they are much, much higher than we used to see, I guess, at least 15 years ago. And so that's just, I don't know, it's a silver lining for folks who are worried about just all of the other sort of market conditions that seem to be changing under our feet. And something else, too, that's worth mentioning when you are considering whether or not you want to continue renting or if you want to buy a home. Oftentimes, you'll hear folks talking about taxes, and we basically want you to forget about the tax breaks that come with owning a home. Because one reason besides throwing away money on rent that you'll hear as a reason for buying instead of renting is for that mortgage interest tax deduction. But that's kind of a flawed reason to buy a home, because in doing so, you're letting the tax tail wag that home purchasing dog. And so buying something solely for tax purposes, it sounds smart, sounds sophisticated, but it is often not.
Yeah.
And secondly,
like, I'm going to invest in that individual stock because I know it's going to go down, and then I can claim losses on my tax return. And it's like, no, you got it wrong.
You're losing the overall game here.
You'd rather make money on your investments and then pay tax on the income.
But also, because of the significant standard deduction that most folks are able to take, they don't actually receive any tax benefit from owning their home with our simplified tax code that we've seen over a few years ago. $13,000 roughly for an individual and $26,000 for a couple. So talk to a tax professional before buying a home and hoping that it's going to significantly reduce your tax burden.
Yeah, I think it's something like 90% of folks.
It's a ridiculous amount. Like,
don't qualify
everybody,
for this tax deduction.
Everybody should be taking the standard deduction because most folks, they're not going to come out ahead by itemizing.
So if you're saying, oh, that's the reason because it's going to help me on my taxes, the reality is it's unlikely. Unless you're in that 10% of folks who actually will qualify. Mm-hmm. And you're going to want to make sure you know that before you offer this. And even if you do qualify for that mortgage interest tax deduction, it might be a pittance. It might be a small amount. And it doesn't mean that you should tie yourself to the transaction cost, to the buying of a home, just because of some sort of, small tax benefit.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Mortgage interest deduction. Oh, you got an extra $386.
Yeah.
Cool. let me just go ahead and just give that directly to the plumber.
Yeah.
Who's going to show up and fix Joel's toilet.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the, I'm still trying to figure it out. Like, why is that? I don't know. It's if it's not the flapper. And toilets are so basic. I feel like I fixed a bunch of toilets. But,
yeah.
But two toilets in my house are doing this.
This one's got you stumped, huh?
Throw me for a loop. So
I don't know.
I might need to.
Next time I come over for when I babysit, maybe I'll take a peek.
Okay.
You want me to?
Yeah. That'd be great. hopefully you'll figure it out when I can't.
We'll keep everybody posted.
Yes, we will on this toilet saga. Well, Matt, one other thing we need to talk about when you're talking about buying versus renting, so much of that decision is so dependent on your timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say you're like, yeah, I want to buy that home, but I don't know if I'm committed to this city or even to this house for very long. I could see myself moving closer to my folks or something.
I've got a pretty transient job. I'm going to be here for maybe a couple years. Yeah. You likely don't need to be buying a home.
No, yes. Buying a house is typically a bad idea. Granted, a lot of people have been the exception to this rule over the past couple years as home prices have increased exponentially. But how long you plan to live in a house has a massive impact on whether or not you should get it. It makes me think about buying a new car because we're mostly against, we don't think it's a great idea, at least financially speaking, for most folks to buy a new car. There are some exceptions to that rule. And one of the things that makes buying a new car a less bad deal is if you hold on to it for a long time. So if one of our listeners says, hey, I really want to buy a new car. I like knowing what I'm owning. I don't want to buy somebody else's problems, but I only want to own that car for 2 years. We would say, no, don't do it. That's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But if they said, hey, I'm down to own this car for 12 to 15 years. I want to own it for the long haul. And I've got the cash to pay for it. We would say, great. It's not actually that bad of a move. So much of it depends on your specific circumstances, but also on your timeline. And so if you're looking to buy a home, you want to make sure, especially when we're talking about housing prices doing what they've done over the past couple of years, you want to have an even longer timeline of ownership in order to make sure that you're not screwing up in this major purchase. We would say it suggests a minimum of 5 years, but more likely something like a 7 to 10 year timeline where you're going to want to own that home to make sure it's not some sort of big financial mistake.
Yeah, you want to be able to depreciate those costs over a longer period of time because you can take any smart home purchase and if you sell it a year later, it's going to look like a dumb purchase because you're not able to escape these like fixed costs of realtor fees, of closing costs. And that's not even taking into account fluctuations in the market. That's assuming that things go up a little bit and maybe you are able to pocket some of that equity. But what if things go down? Then you truly are going to be in a hole.
Yeah, bringing tens of thousands of dollars to the closing table is no fun. And, you know, that could be the reality if you buy a house right now and try to sell next year.
Exactly, yeah. But even though like it might sound like we're trying to talk you out of buying a home, we're still actually bullish on the future of the housing market because like there is a housing shortage that won't get fixed overnight. We're talking about being millions of units short, which does impact some cities more than others, but there just is not enough construction to keep up with the population growth. It's not keeping up with income growth. It's not keeping up with household formation. There are just a slew of factors that are contributing to that reality. Like district zoning laws. There's folks who don't want to see density in their backyard. There's all the NIMBYism out there that's happening. So basically the housing shortage, it remains and it's going to impact buyers for years to come, even though we're currently going through a bit of a market shock right now because of the higher prices that we just talked about. And so all that, I just wanted to put that out there as well, because we're kind of talking about, oh, you probably shouldn't be buying a home if you consider how you should be looking at your home, not as an investment, but instead as a place to live.
Yeah.
Oh, you probably shouldn't be purchasing because, oh, your credit score is not all that great. We went through all these different factors. But that being said, like, we still think that the market over the long haul, over the long term, is going to be higher a couple years from now than it is right now.
Yeah, it makes me think about an article I read recently about Pokemon cards. And apparently, you know, some people were making just massive amounts of dollars on these rare Pokemon cards. And what did the people who created the Pokemon cards do? They printed more of those cards and they actually like devalued that market. And so some of those people who were selling the cards on eBay were pretty bummed. But for other people who just like are enthusiastic about Pokemon cards, they were happy. Here's the thing. The housing correction, we can't build enough units quickly enough. It's not like Pokemon where they can just like turn on the printers
right,
and yep. just like create the like, thrust two times or three times the amount of Pokemon cards out into the world. Like, that's not how it works with housing. We are still millions of units short, and that shortage is likely to continue for a while. So I agree, Matt. I think the housing market is going to continue to appreciate over time. You just can't expect it to look like it's looked over the past couple of years. Yeah.
But regardless of where that leaves you, you're probably wondering, well, what do I do now? I'm thinking about continuing to rent, or I'm thinking about actually purchasing a home. We are actually going to run through a number of things that you should be thinking through if you are in either one of those positions, and we'll get to that right after this. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. That's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney.
All right, Matt, let's keep talking about buying a house and kind of the current market, how that kind of changes the equation for a lot of people, right? As the price just skyrockets, it's just priced a lot of people out of the market who did want to buy a home. Although we're starting to see a correction that could improve the likelihood that some of those people who weren't able to buy a home a few months ago might be able to now. But we're going to give our tips for buyers. What are the next steps you need to do in order to buy a home in this market? We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, let's talk to the renter.
listeners for just a second, Matt, because maybe after running through all those factors, some of our listeners said, okay, wait a second, buying a home isn't for me. It's not just this crazy market, but maybe, yeah, maybe I can, looking at the disparity in my market. I can save hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month renting, and then I don't have to put up with all the bogus toilet oven nonsense that Joel and Matt have to put up with.
Yeah, maybe it's more of a lifestyle thing. Maybe as they thought through it, they're thinking, I just don't want to deal with that. Yeah. Like you said, you touched on the flexibility and the lifestyle that allows you. Maybe I want to have my options open.
Yeah.
If that's the case, you want to rent.
Or maybe they said, I don't have enough of a down payment even to really put this on my radar, or my credit score stinks. Like those are good things that you can be working on if you're interested in buying a home in the future. But there is no shame in waiting. And so let's see if we can provide maybe those listeners with some tips to help cut their current rent down to size. And the first step we'd encourage folks to take is to attempt to negotiate their rent. We don't want you to take a rent increase lying down. We would say knowing the market where you live helps you know whether you should shop the open market or whether you should push back in a friendly way in order to seek to garner a lower monthly rent amount. And if you want kind of just in-depth tips on that, we actually interviewed an expert, Justin Pogue, back in episode 469. But there are a ton of levers that you can pull, use to your advantage, to make sure that you are not getting hit in the chin with an exorbitant rent increase. There are ways for you to push back and lessen it, or maybe just eliminate it altogether.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and real quick, I'll say, like, I think one of the best things you could do is just be honest, right? If you see one of those rent increase emails showing up, I think just sharing and being honest and saying, hey, this is going to impact me in a pretty serious way. This is going to impact my ability to continue living here. Is there any way that we could maybe meet in the middle? Or even better yet, is there a way that maybe we can keep it where it was?
Or maybe I know you hire a lawn service. What if I start mowing the lawn?
Yeah,
or,
see, that's where that creativity kicks in.
What if we sign a two-year lease? Like maybe that gives that landlord a little more peace of mind that they're not going to experience any vacancy. Maybe it's a win-win.
Yeah, if you are able to make life easier for your landlord, coming from two landlords, we will seriously consider that, because that's oftentimes when you have a renter in a place and they pay on time, they're not trashing the place. These are good renters. These are the kind of folks who you want to keep around for the long haul. And so I guess what I'm saying is I don't want you to be afraid to start that conversation, because like we often talk about when it comes to like discounts, the worst somebody can say is, no, thank you.
Right.
Like, I don't, you know, they shouldn't belittle you. they're not going to make fun of you or anything like that. Hopefully you have an upstanding landlord who's going to treat you fairly, who's going to treat you right. Joel, I think another way to keep your rent in check is to find a way to share the burden of rent. You know, I think that's probably one of the best ways to maybe really get creative. And so this means considering a roommate when maybe you've not had a roommate in like since college. You know, maybe you've had your own place for a number of years. Actually, we talked about getting a much older roommate on a recent Friday flight. Or maybe, you know, instead of simply just re-signing your lease or just kind of going to the standard apartment complex that everyone else rents at, it means knocking on doors of houses that have a carriage house that you could possibly rent. Joel, we kind of got lucky and we, through personal connections and friends, kind of knew the owners of the house where the carriage house is, where we are currently recording. But before we had this lined up, we started thinking, man, there are a lot of carriage houses within that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Literally,
we were going to canvas that place.
We were just going to go door to door and just start knocking on doors and politely,
biggest smile ever,
introducing ourselves, explaining who we are, you know, what we're looking for. And I can't imagine if there was a homeowner who had a vacant space, how would they not want to rent to some folks who are going to be able to provide them some additional income, while at the same time, for us, potentially scoring a deal on our rent? And while we're talking about neighborhoods, I think it's important to reconsider where it is that you're living, reconsider your neighborhood, because maybe you're not taking advantage of the popular amenities that your neighborhood offers. Like maybe in a previous life, this is something that you took advantage of, this is something that you appreciated, but maybe now you've got kids and you're not going out to shows like you used to back before you got married.
You're getting too close to home right here, Matt.
I know, yeah. I mean, this is literally something we did because the cost of living changed pretty dramatically when we moved to where we are now. I'm not going to say that was the driving force behind our move, but it sure is nice.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a plus, right? It's to save money every month.
Yes.
And I think another last tip to renters is maybe reassess your space, because it might mean accepting a smaller, lower quality space or living arrangement in order to sock more money into your savings account in preparation to buy something for the future.
Yeah.
And that might sound like a jerk thing to say, like, hey, move into a crappier place that's much smaller and rodent infested or something. That's not what I'm saying.
Cupboard under the stairs that's up for rent.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You can be the next Harry Potter. But it's true that sometimes renting something smaller, living in fewer square feet or something that's not quite as fancy, like doesn't have the awesome pool and the gym or something like that, maybe that you're not even taking advantage
of. How often are you actually using that gym?
Right. Those things will save you money, avoiding those things and finding something that's less expensive. So we would say that like some extra discomfort to be able to reach your goal of home ownership more quickly, that's not deprivation. That is short-term pain for long-term gain, right? So do you really need a second bedroom? Can you move down to a one-bedroom apartment? Or how often are friends and family actually coming to stay with you? That's why you keep that second bedroom. Maybe they could stay in a hotel instead. Maybe you don't need the extra square footage that you think you need, that you're saying you need. So I don't want to sound unrealistic or unkind, but I think there are a lot of people in those kind of situations where they have more square footage than they need. They could save money by downgrading. And that additional savings can go a long way towards helping them achieve, you know, those bigger goals that they have.
That's right. Yeah. Reassess the amount of square footage that you're paying for. No pain, no gain, according to Joel's card.
Sleep on a bed of nails, too. Just I think that just enhances your blood flow and makes you a better human.
The reason we mention this is because we want folks to basically question everything. Like, we do not want you to get stuck in this rut. And just because you've had a place that has two bedrooms, that doesn't necessarily mean you always, from henceforth, from now until I die, I'm always going to have a place that's at least two bedrooms big. Maybe you do need that bedroom, right? Maybe you're working from home, you need that home office, and that space is worth every single penny. But we just don't want you to get stuck in a rut where you're just making these assumptions that things can't change.
Everything's a trade-off.
Yeah, exactly. And everything's on the table. Like you should be able to consider, at least, you should be able to talk about cutting things from your life without it causing too much emotional anguish.
And I just want to say, we take our own medicine, right? And we have in the past where we have lived in spaces that were somewhat uncomfortable, or when it comes to downsizing to becoming a one-car family, because it's
we're still rocking the one-car family even though we're out in the burbs. I'm proud to say,
and it doesn't make our lives,
knock on wood, hopefully we can
easier right, it doesn't make our lives easier having one car, but it does mean we're able to focus more, save more on the things that matter. Having one older car allows me a lot more financial flexibility, and that's what I care about.
Absolutely. Yeah. But okay, so again, you know, realize that purchasing a home, it's a very personal decision. Maybe you're at the point, though, where you realize that this is the next step for you. If so, that is awesome. Like, we are so pumped for you. I can't think of any other purchase that's going to positively, hopefully, impact your life as much as buying a new place will.
Someone in our Facebook group recently talking about buying a lemon of a house, and it just made me really sad. Like, she had a bunch of issues. So, again, buying a house, potentially fraught with peril. Like, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
You never know.
You got to be prepared.
And don't go for the absolute cheapest inspector, home inspector. Right.
But, yeah, that just made me really, really sad to read about.
Yeah, that sucks. But, you know, with that in mind, we also want you to hopefully follow a few steps so that you don't end up in a stressful situation like that listener. And so the first thing you want to do, though, is to make sure that you get your personal finances in order. Because buying a home when your finances are in shambles, that's going to be a terrible idea. And so what that means is that we do not want you with any high interest rate debt. It's a good rule of thumb. And we also want to make sure that you've got steady income. I'm thinking about how, like, we currently still have roughly 2 job openings for every person who's unemployed. And so what that means, generally speaking, is we've seen a lot of job turnover. And you yourself, if you're listening to this, you might have finding yourself with an employer that you haven't been with for that long. And I'm sure you're thinking, oh, they would never let me go. But were that company to hit a rough patch, chances are they're, you know, last person hired, first person to go. And so even though you might feel like you are in just a really solid position because you've got those checks coming in, but we don't want you to feel overconfident with the paycheck that you've only recently been earning.
Yeah, and one of the things that's going to put you in a stronger position when it comes to buying that house, Matt, is having more money on hand for a down payment. So yeah, like you said, paying off the higher interest rate debt, not having any credit card debt is the best position to be in when it comes to buying a home, but then also having a bunch of cash in the bank so that you can slap hopefully 20% down. We talked about down payments, you know, before the break, but the more money you have on hand to put down, the lower your mortgage payment is going to be. That is just the reality. And that puts you in a better position to be able to actually afford more home if that's your goal. But it's something that we're keen on, right? We want you to have more skin in the game. A bigger down payment typically means you're a more thoughtful home buyer. And so if you're wanting to grow the money that you have right now in order to save up for a down payment, if you're talking about like a shorter term purchase, you're looking to buy in the next couple of years. If you're looking to buy in less than a year, a high yield savings account is really the only place to put that money. If you're looking to buy in at least a year out from now, I-bonds are a good place to put it. And if you're looking for something like a longer term, you're like, I want to buy a house in 6, 7, 8 years, you can actually invest some of that money
in a
brokerage account.
Yeah, if you are thinking that proactively and intentionally, I think that's awesome.
Yes, I agree. But that's the thing. If you are thinking that long term, you definitely want to make sure that money is invested so that it's not getting eaten away by inflation, that it's able to grow in the market so that you're not losing purchasing power.
Yeah, that's right, man. You count on that down payment because that is money that you already have. That's money in the bank, and you can kind of lean back on that to alleviate any of the risk of potentially, you know, not necessarily continuing to earn the money that you are earning, where you're counting on the future, those future earnings in order to score the house that you're wanting. Another important step when you are looking to buy a home is that you got to set a budget. A good rule of thumb is going to be 25 to 30% of your monthly take home. Some folks, in an attempt to get in before things get too crazy, have purchased homes that maybe were a bit more than they could handle. Real estate agents, mortgage brokers, they love to tout the recent price surge as a reason why you should maybe buy a little more than you actually feel comfortable with right now in the present moment.
Like, it's an investment, so it's okay if you can barely afford this thing.
And values are going to go up, yeah. I promise.
It's still, you're going to make money over time, even if you are at the outer edge of your affordability, comfortability.
And obviously, these are generalizations, and there are fantastic realtors and lenders out there. But there is a reality that this is something that you might have heard yourself and that would leave you left in the lurch. Some of that advice is, you know, it's based on recent history and some of it is self-serving, but there are going to be real downsides to biting off more than you can chew if you end up spending more on a home than you can actually comfortably afford.
I remember my dad telling me that the first home they bought when they moved here to the Atlanta area from the Pacific Northwest, someone at his work, even just a coworker, said, hey, buy something that's kind of at the outer edge of what you can afford, because of course you're going to get like raises, and pretty soon that's going to feel really comfortable, and you're going to be glad that you don't have to move and upgrade and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I get why someone would say that, but it's terrible advice, because what happened to my dad? He got laid off, and when that happens, now not only is that house unaffordable or barely affordable on that current salary, it's completely unaffordable when you don't have any income coming in.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things where a lot of people will tell you that, like, well, clearly it's going to be a good investment. Yeah, that's assuming everything goes perfectly, right? And that nothing goes wrong. And I've experienced
it. In your own
it,
personal life,
right,
or in the market.
In your personal life, in the market, in the economy as a whole.
Yeah.
Because if we actually do go into a recession, let's say housing prices go down 10%, you lose your job. And you're forced to sell after you bought at the top of the market. And now that you don't have a job, like, you could be in a tough situation. And, you know, it's not that a lot of people haven't made a lot of money in the last couple of years. They have. But you also have to make sure you're not taking on more risk. You're not biting off more than you can chew. And here's the other thing, Matt. You need to make sure you're getting granular with this. I like that you said 25 to 30% of your monthly take-home pay. We think that's a really good way for you to think about it. Your post-tax income. Like, you want to make sure you're budgeting not just on, like, a certain percentage of my gross pay. Like, that's not what you want to be looking at. You want to be looking at the granular numbers of your actual budget and what you can afford. And we think 25 to 30% of your take-home pay is probably the best way to think about that.
Yeah, that helps you to kind of cut through the clutter, because you're like, well, my boss says, like, I know I make $150K, and
right,
so surely we can afford this house. And it's like, well, maybe you are participating in an employer match. Maybe you've got a lot of money going towards retirement. Maybe you've got a lot of money going up, you know, due to taxes.
Which is great. We want you saving money for your future.
But that definitely decreases the amount of money that you have on cash, that you have on hand in order to cover your monthly expenses.
That's right. And again, your loan officer, they might approve you for a loan that goes far beyond that number. That doesn't mean it's smart. And so when you're when you're figuring your actual post-tax income, it's so much easier to know what you can actually afford, you know, whether we're talking about rent or a mortgage. But if you're looking to buy, it's helpful to go ahead and get pre-approved, get qualified for a mortgage, and that way you're able to pounce when the time comes. You want to make sure that if you're like, I'm ready to buy a home, I've got the down payment, I know that I can afford this, that you're pre-approved, in all likelihood with a local mortgage lender or with a credit union, so that you can make solid offers when the home of your dreams kind of comes available.
That's right. Yeah. And the reason too that you can confidently pounce and purchase that home of your dreams is because this is kind of like an additional step too, is that you've been searching, you've been researching, you know, the market that you know, that you're looking to buy in, not just on Zillow, not just because you have been like zooming in and tapping homes and looking at the price history and all the things that we've all done, but because you are taking it to the streets. Like literally you drive through the neighborhood. We've talked about the wave test before, where you wave at people and you see how they respond. They're like, oh, okay.
We've gotten some pushback on that. Some people didn't like the wave test.
The wave, hey, I'm still all for the wave test. But not just driving through a neighborhood, but even walking through a neighborhood and talking to other folks who are out and about walking their dogs. These are all ways.
You can garner a lot of information.
Yes.
Just by talking to the folks
like you,
that live
you
there.
You want to know like specific streets like the back of your hand so that when something comes up, you know that, oh, you know, that doesn't seem like a great deal, but I know that street. And that street is an amazing street. It is that, you know, that is worth every penny. That's the kind of confidence that you gain from research and knowing a market. And so that's something you got to do as well.
Like something really small about the house that we moved into recently is that the specific location on the street just means there's a lot less car traffic. Like just a few houses up, there's this intersection where most of the cars turn. And
they turn away from your house.
Exactly. And so it's kind of nice that we could send our kids into the front yard and there's just not really much thought to car traffic going by because there's so very little of it. It's all those like little things that add value to the house that you can't necessarily see on a Zillow listing.
Yeah, so we share all this because it is important to not only to have all of your finances in order and not just to sit back on the couch with your phone dreaming of, oh, I could live in this house, oh, or I could live in this house. Like, everybody does that. That's easy. But do the harder things that are a little more difficult. Do the things that nobody else is doing because that's what's going to set you apart.
Yeah, you start doing the effort and you're gonna have more success when it comes to actually finding the property that you want.
You're going to reap those rewards. And one other thing, too, we don't want folks to overdo it on housing costs. You know, as we kind of zoom out, step back here, for a minute, if you are spending too much on a house, like that is going to prevent you from reaching other important goals in your life. There's a reason that the term house poor exists because that's what you are basically when you are spending too much of your disposable income on housing.
Yeah, it sounds like we're being prudish by limiting the amount of money that you're bringing in on a house, but no, we're just trying to help you be wise and not experience that financial stress and difficulty.
We're trying to help you to be thoughtful. And we know that this is easier said than done given the recent surge in housing costs for basically everyone who didn't buy a home 3 years ago, three plus years ago, I guess. But if you opt to spend a bigger chunk of your take-home pay on housing, you're going to have less for saving, you're going to have less for investing and other awesome life goals. We've referenced this stat before, but 90% of Americans have the vast majority of their wealth tied up within their home, within their primary residence, which isn't good. You should think about the home equity that you're able to build as icing on top, you know, icing on the cake. It's like a nice little bonus. But the majority of your net worth should come through basically passively investing within the stock market, or at least if you are going to purchase a home, investing within real estate, because you're looking through things through a different filter than you do when you're buying a primary home.
Yeah, for sure. And the reality is, Matt, that for some people, never buying can also be a good option for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
I think that's almost seen as like a slur in our society where it's like, oh, you're a renter. Huh?
Like you're looked down upon a little bit in society.
Ridiculous. Yeah, because it's often the best lifestyle and financial option for a lot of folks. It's not a bad life.
You're like, peace out. I'm going to take advantage of this sweet flight deal that I saw down to the Caymans. And sorry, you've got to let the HVAC guy in to fix your furnace.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to worry about that. And ultimately, the answer where you land is going to vary based on a lot of different personal variables. Buying a home is beginning to look a little bit easier, at least for a lot of folks, than it has looked over the past couple of years. There's less competition out there. Homes are sitting on Zillow longer, right? You can actually get more of an idea of what the pricing should look like because things aren't going overnight. But things have also gotten more expensive. And here's the reality. Prices could moderate in the coming months. That's also not a sure thing either. And ultimately, if you really want to own that home and you're doing great with your finances as a whole, you're wanting to own that home for a minimum of 5 years in all likelihood. Better advice to be able to commit to owning it for at least 7 to 10 years.
Even longer.
Yeah. Then, you know, it might make sense. Even if you're unsure of what housing prices are going to do in the next 6 to 12 months, well, that matters a whole lot less if your ownership timeline is a little bit longer.
Exactly. Yeah. Like in the end, what we want to leave you with is that all of the different headlines that you see, all of the market conditions, what the Fed does, where mortgage rates are, these are all a little less important than where you are personally, whether it be your own finances or, you know, like where your head's at. Like maybe you're just not ready from a mental state to be able to own a home because maybe you're focusing on your career, or maybe you're thinking, you know what, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get married in a couple years. I'm going to find the one and I don't think I want to buy a home when there's a chance that my partner might want to move somewhere else. These are all the things that you want to keep in mind before you spend a lot of money on the most expensive purchase that most people ever make.
Sure.
In their lives. But Joel, let's shift gears. Let's get back to the beer that you and I enjoyed during this episode. This was an Odelette, which is a Fooder Lagered Beer de Garde. This is a beer by Fair Isle Brewing out of Seattle. What were your thoughts on this, dude?
Okay, so I wrote down three words to describe it. Oaky beer champagne. It's kind of how I think about it.
Oh, I like some of that oaky beer champagne, please.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir.
So good.
Like you're at a cocktail party and then they're walking around with bottles of just nice craft beer.
Right, and this was what?
That's the kind of party I want to go to.
That's exactly right. This was by Fair Isle Brewing is what you said?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think it's like some sort of Norwegian sweater style. So it's like a cozy Norwegian sweater for my tongue.
It's those hand-knit sweaters that have like the lines going across. I've got a Fair Isle styled like cardigan or something that I like to wear, specifically in the winter when I'm kind of sitting there in my chair reading a book. Specifically on Sunday afternoons, that old man by the sea life. That's what's for me.
Feeling the hygge or whatever they call it.
Absolutely. Man, I'll say that the like that oakiness, like that's the first thing that you taste. I mean, it's the first thing you smell as well, but I can't, like almost every beer out there that's been aged in wood, aged on oak, is going to taste a little bit better. But then you've got those tasty malts that you kind of expect with just a high quality lager. But then sure enough, it just dries out, which is, you know, that's kind of, I guess, more the champagne side of what you're saying.
The brute effect.
Yeah, man. It was really impressive that I think a lot of times with a beer that's got this type of complexity, you expect there to be maybe some more sugars, some more sweetness within the beer, but it just really dried up and it made this a very surprisingly delicious beer to drink here at the tail end of summer. I would highly recommend for anybody who might be interested in what we just talked about to pick up a bottle of Odelette. And again, this was by Fair Isle. By the way, this is the first time we've ever had a beer by these guys.
Sure.
So
new brewery.
Brand new brewery that we are now getting down here in Georgia. But I will look forward to more beers by them in the future.
No doubt. All right. That's going to do it for this episode. Matt, folks can find the show notes for this episode up on our website at howtomoney.com. So until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We're talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.